It's 8464CA. Yesterday in the Breakfast Show, had the opportunity to talk to the Leader of the Opposition, Anthony Albanese, about, well, quite a few things, including Barnaby Joyce, but particularly UNESCO's potential listing of the Great Barrier Reef as in danger. Somebody who I've been keen to catch up with for quite a while, actually. She's quite an amazing girl for the things that she does around town. She's actually a journalist at the moment with Cairns Local News, the newspaper that you'll often see around the ridges, a musician as well, and the founder of the Divers for Reef Conservation. She's a scuba diving instructor as well. Tanya Murphy, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning, Murray. It's good to be here.
Good to have you along again. And there's some really interesting stuff to talk about. But look, you know, you managing to pivot with you, you know, with what you're doing as a musician in the last 12 months during COVID, turning into a journalist and also still doing a bit of work on the Great Barrier Reef. There's a lot we could talk about just there. And also you've just moved home. We can talk about the homelessness situation for a lot of people here in the Cairns and the tropical north region. But I guess the thing that I'm keen to focus on is the potential listing that we've heard about in the last day or so of the Great Barrier Reef as in danger. Can I start by just talking to you a little bit further about your experience taking tourists out to the Great Barrier Reef? What are they saying? What are they seeing? You know, I guess there's this adage that you're hearing from parts of Europe that the reef is dead. Tell me about the experiences and the things that some of your customers actually see while they're on the Great Barrier Reef.
Yeah, well, this listing from UNESCO is a sign that the reef really is in danger. However, tourists are still getting taken to the parts of the reef which are in a really good condition. So tourists only visit less than 1% of the Great Barrier Reef. The Marine Park Authority issues permits that tours can only go to certain spots, but many boats have permits to visit various different spots, and they're doing a really good job of choosing to take people to the parts which are in amazing and beautiful conditions. So,
which makes a lot of sense too. You wouldn't want to take them to any of the degraded reefs. It's not going to be a good advertisement for tropical North Queensland at all.
Absolutely. So we're still welcoming tourists to the reef, and they're having an amazing time. You can just check TripAdvisor reviews. You can see recent reviews that the tourists are seeing amazing things, having an amazing time at the reef. But the reef is more than 2,400 kilometres long. It covers 15 degrees of latitude. So depending on the different currents and the different depths at different parts of the reef, different parts have been affected by climate change differently. So in the parts that tourists don't visit, scientists are going out and surveying large areas and finding a variety of conditions of different reefs. So some parts of the reef are still in amazing condition, but other parts they're finding are being severely degraded. And that includes areas which are really remote and no tourists have ever visited there. So that goes to show that it is things like climate change and water quality which are impacting on those reefs. And so the takeaway is that the reef is an amazing place to visit because there's parts left that are amazing, but there are other areas, many of which are not visited by tourists, which are in a very threatened state. So that's why UNESCO has listed it as in danger.
At the end of the day, when you consider the economic impact, if we have some negative impacts on the reef, you know, for so many tourist operators right up and down the Queensland coast, it's a real potential concern. So anything that we can do to make sure that the reef stays in as most that healthy position as possible is certainly a really positive thing. Let's talk about the 30 reefs worldwide. They're actually on the UNESCO list as really special places, and particularly Belize. I believe back in about 2009, their largest reef system there was actually listed as in danger as well. And even a country like Belize has been able to turn that around, I believe, in the last 10 years or so.
Yeah, after UNESCO listed the reef at Belize as in danger in 2009, the government took lots of really strong actions, which included, among other things, protecting wetlands that flow into the water and mangroves, and also putting a moratorium on oil exploration around the reef. And as a result of all those strong reef protection measures, they managed to get in 2018 that reef was taken off the in danger list. So if that is possible for a country like Belize, it's definitely possible for a country like Australia. But we definitely need to be doing more. So a good step in the right direction was in the Queensland budget, they dedicated $270 million of funds to continue water quality regulations, which will help farmers and work together with farmers to improve drainage, things like planting trees, to reduce fertilizer and sediment from running off into the water. But another thing that the government could be doing is taking strong action on climate change. So, for example, in Belize, they put a moratorium on oil exploration to protect their reef. And here at the moment, our federal government's environment minister is considering whether to approve or reject Clive Palmer's proposed coal mine, which will be just 10 kilometres from wetlands which feed into the Great Barrier Reef. So the Queensland government has stated that that mine will be a disaster for the reef. And
it's been rejected.
Yeah, shouldn't be approved. But it's still up to the environment minister, the federal environment minister is still considering that decision. So with this decision from, or with this proposal from UNESCO to downgrade the reef to in danger, hopefully that's a clear sign to the environment minister that we need to reject that mine.
And it was interesting, our special envoy for the Great Barrier Reef and, of course, our federal member here in Leichhardt, Warren Inch, certainly has been quite supportive of the decision there of the Queensland government. And he's not a strong supporter at all in any way of Clive Palmer's proposed coal mine there in central Queensland. And I believe he actually met with protesters in recent times. And, you know, the protesters actually walked away feeling that Warren had at least addressed those issues and actually provide a letter that he'd put through to the Environment Minister expressing his concerns. So, you know, even conservative governments and conservative people right around the world are accepting fully the science of climate change and the potential threats too, particularly when you consider the economic impacts if we have further degradation of the Great Barrier Reef. And I think you make some really solid points there. With the pure size of the Great Barrier Reef, very few people have any opportunity to actually explore the whole length and breadth of the Great Barrier Reef. They may see some very, very isolated areas. That's not really enough to be able to make a good judgment as to the state of the reef, where the scientists are out there actually looking at it and actually monitoring it. They've got the hard data to prove the position that they've got.
Absolutely. So we still welcome everyone to come and see the Great Barrier Reef. It's one of the best reefs in the world, in my opinion. That's why it's heritage listed. So come and see the Great Barrier Reef. But yeah, definitely we need to be asking our government to take heed to the UNESCO's advice and follow what Belize achieved and take more.
Incredible.
Yeah, continue taking more strong action on the things, the top two threats to the Great Barrier Reef, which is climate change and water quality.
Well, look, on that personal note too, and I kind of suggested this at the beginning of our conversation as well, you've managed to pivot, even though that pivot word has become one of the in words in the last 12 months that drives me a bit crazy. But from your position as a dive instructor and, of course, working in diving with the tourism industry here in the tropical north, to then become, during you know the COVID times, actually working as a journalist and also still managing to keep the old singing voice in as a musician and entertainer. You've done some remarkable things in the last year or so. And I believe you're about to become a radio journalist as well. And interestingly, the issues that we've had with homelessness to agree, and of course, the rental shortage, the property shortages here in tropical North Queensland, I believe you've just moved house as well. But you've managed to find yourself a new rental. So despite facing some really, really large challenges in the last 12 months, it seems like you've come through with flying colours. Tanya?
Yeah, I was really lucky to find a place because I do have friends that I have a friend who was sleeping on friends' couches for a month, and it's unprecedented. So she's been working her whole life, never had trouble finding a place, good references.
Incredible.
Many stories like this are happening at the moment. It's just because I've interviewed real estate agents and they've said it's all Southerners, like Melbourneites and people from New South Wales. They've all seen the light and realised that we've got the the best God's own country up here in Queensland. We all knew this already, but we preferred...
It was a secret.
Yeah, we preferred it being a best kept secret. We didn't want them all to find out, but, you know, they're very welcome up here, helping to stimulate the economy and everything, but sure. They have the increased demand has driven up the price of houses and the price of rentals, and there's just no vacancy for rentals at the moment. The only reason I found somewhere is because I knew someone. But yeah, it's going to be an ongoing problem.
Yeah, it's quite incredible. It really is. And of course, you know, from your perspective as one of the founders of Divers for Reef Conservation, it's been great to get your perspective here this morning. I'm sure there's more we can talk about, but we might leave that to another time if we get a chance. Tanya Murphy, I won't give you your full title because we'll be here for another half hour, but thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thanks, Murray. Have a great day. Every Saturday.